الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين، سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا محمد، وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين، ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْعَلِيمُ الْحَكِيمُ. Respected elders, dear brothers and sisters, my young friends, assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. Yesterday we were at the cemetery, and being in the graveyard is a reminder of the inevitable reality. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has actually encouraged it. فَزُورُوا الْقُبُورُ فَإِنَّهَا تُذَكِّرُ الْمَوْتِ. So visit the graves, the graveyard, because it reminds you of death. It reminds you of the inevitable reality. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, كُلُّ نَفْسٍ ذَائِقَةُ الْمَوْتِ. Every single soul, every soul must, will taste death. It is the reality, my brothers and sisters, whose most valuable currency, or only currency, as Iman and A'mal al-Salih, faith and good deeds. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَفِي خُسْرٍ, that indeed the human being is in loss. إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ, except those who believe and do good deeds. And the strength of that currency, my brothers and sisters, is in three things. Number one, the state of your heart. Number one, the state of your heart, the condition of your heart. Number two, your intentions. And number three, the perfection of your actions. The strength of the currency of the hereafter is in the state of your heart, your intentions, and the perfection of your actions. In this dunya, my brothers and sisters, what do people value? Power, armies, arms, weapons, wealth, fame, looks, good reputation, public relations. But once a person enters their grave, once a person enters their grave, nothing else holds any value except their faith and their good deeds. Those are the only two things that matter. And when we look at the cemeteries, there's no differentiation between who was who came from where, and had what and how much and how they looked. Especially in the Islamic tradition, there's no differentiation. When you go to the cemetery, they're all the same. Sometimes some families, they put plaques, but even those are on the ground, they're flat. You can't tell from a distance until you actually walk up to it. So none of these things hold any value whatsoever in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Or even before getting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the grave. It's only and only the currency of Iman and good deeds. And the special season for earning this currency is coming very soon. Because today is the 13th day of Sha'ban. Sunday will be the 15th. And before you know it, the month of Ramadan will be here, inshaAllah. This month of Sha'ban is special because it's the month to train for the blessed month. It is the month which most people neglect, as the Prophet ﷺ told us. It is also the month that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam used to fast a lot, or the most you could say, because he said that the actions, the deeds are presented to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this month, and I like to be fasting and be in a state of fasting when my deeds are presented. So this is a month not to sit back and relax and think that, oh, Ramadan is 2 weeks away, so let us just take it easy, but rather this is the month to train and to prepare, to ensure that we embrace every single moment of the month of Ramadan, to prepare spiritually and mentally. And if we don't prepare now, and it's already a bit late, by the way, to be honest, when it comes to preparation for Ramadan. But if we don't even prepare at this point, then we will certainly miss out something from the month of Ramadan. Allahumma barik lana fi sha'ban wa balighna Ramadan. We don't want to miss out on any opportunity to get more wealth in this dunya, in this world. Then why lag behind for the hereafter when it comes to the true and the real currency that's actually going to make a difference? See, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us to rush, to race toward forgiveness and Jannah. وَسَارِعُوا إِلَى مَغْفِرَةٍ مِّن رَبِّكُمْ وَجَنَّةٍ عَرْضُهَا السَّمَاوَاتُ وَالْأَرْضُ وَسَابِقُوا إِلَى مَغْفِرَةٍ مِّن رَبِّكُمْ. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala encourages us to rush, to race towards forgiveness, towards Jannah. What does that tell us? There's action involved. There are actions involved in gaining the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There are actions involved in making it to Jannah. You can't just sit back and relax, have wishful thinking that Jannah will be ours, will be yours. There's action that's involved. There's got to be movement. There's got to be harakah. There's got to be some effort that's put into achieving and attaining these things through the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now on the day of judgment, my brothers and sisters, that is when we will realize the true value of every single deed. The true value of every single deed will be truly realized on the day of judgment. Because you know, every single deed, every single good deed is valuable. Abu Dharr radiallahu anhu relates from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that he said to him, لَا تَحْقِرَنَّ مِنَ الْمَعْرُوفِ شَيْئًا وَلَوْ أَن تَلْقَى أَخَاكَ بِوَجْهٍ طَلْقٍ. Do not belittle any good deed. Do not belittle any good deed, even meeting your brother with a cheerful face. Because subhanAllah, we don't know which action may be the one that makes it for us. It could even be a smiling, cheerful face. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells us, do not belittle any good deed. Don't look down upon any good deed. Think that it's not valuable or it's not worth much. In Surah Al-Zalzala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us good news. فَمَن يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ خَيْرًا يَرَهُ. Right? Many of us probably have recited this ayah many times in Salah. So whoever does an atom's weight of good will see it. Whoever does even an atom's weight of good, you tell me how much is the weight of an atom? Of a speck, even smaller than a speck. What's the weight? Nothing, it's negligible. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, فَمَن يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ خَيْرًا يَرَى. ذَرَّةٍ خَيْرًا يَرَى. That whoever does an atom's weight of good will see it. But right after that, he also warns us, وَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ شَرًّا يَرَى. And whoever does an atom's weight of evil will see it. مَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ شَرًّا يَرَى. He will see it. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us good news first, but then there's also a warning. If you've done good deeds, whatever they may be, no matter how small they may seem, know that they will be recognized, inshaAllah. You will be rewarded for it, inshaAllah. It will be there in your book of deeds. But it's scary as well. Because no matter how small of an evil deed, sin you may have committed, it is also going to be there in your book of deeds. It will also be visible. It's not going to go away simply because it was small. And this one thought that keeps getting me is, what if on the day of judgment, you're just one good deed short, or have one sin too many? Because it's a test, right? And you don't know the result of the test until it's over. Right? When you get your exam papers back, you get your grade. Right? That's when you find out how you actually did. Right? So the results of this exam are going to be given to us on the day of judgment. That's when we'll find out. What if I'm short just by one deed? What if it's that one fast? Or those few extra rak'ahs of prayer. Or maybe a few extra moments of dua and dhikr. Or maybe that extra dollar, that loonie, that toonie in charity that makes the difference. That smile, that nice word, that care, that service to your loved ones, to your neighbor. Any good deed, because we don't look down upon any good deed. So what if it's that one deed that I could have done, but I didn't? Maybe because I was too lazy, maybe because, you know, I didn't feel like it, or because I didn't think it was important. What if it's that one deed that ends up making the difference, and I find myself short? And subhanAllah, these verses, Surah Al-Zalzala, they establish the perfect balance of hope and fear. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, or rather says to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to tell us, نَبِّعْ عِبَادِي أَنِّي أَنَا الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. Inform my servants, O Prophet, that I am truly the all-forgiving, most merciful. So when you read that, you're like, Alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-ghafoor, al-raheem. You feel good, get so much hope. But right after that, وَأَنَّ عَذَابِي هُوَ الْعَذَابُ الْأَلِيمُ. And that my torment is indeed the most painful. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, forgive us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, make us the recipients of His mercy and His forgiveness. You see, this was the condition of Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu an, who said that لَوْ نَادَ مُنَادٍ مِّنَ السَّمَاءِ أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ إِنَّكُمْ دَاخِلُونَ الْجَنَّةِ كُلُّكُمْ إِنَّكُمْ دَاخِلُونَ الْجَنَّةَ كُلُّكُمْ أَجْمَعُونَ إِلَّا رَجُلًا وَاحِدًا لَخِفْتُ أَنْ أَكُونَ هُوَ. That if a caller from heaven announced that all people would enter paradise, all people would enter Jannah together, except for one man, except for one person, I would fear. Who's saying this? Sayyidina Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu. I would fear that I am him. If there was only one person who would be deprived of Jannah, out of all people, I would be afraid that I would be him. وَلَوْ نَادَى مُنَادٍ أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ إِنَّكُمْ دَاخِلُونَ النَّارَ إِلَّا رَجُلًا وَاحِدًا لَرَجَوْتُ أَنْ أَكُونَ هُوَ. On the other hand, if a caller announced that all people would enter hellfire, except for one man, I would hope that I am him. So this is the balance between hope and fear. And this is the condition that we want to strive for. When we come across the verses of the Qur'an, the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that talk about forgiveness, that talk about His mercy, then we feel hope. But when we come across verses that talk about His punishment, the severity of His punishment, then we are afraid that we may end up as recipients of those. As we approach the month of Ramadan, my brothers and sisters, let us try to cultivate these feelings so that we are ready to embrace every moment of the month to maximize benefits and gains. As we discussed last week, when we were talking about the love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if we build these feelings and emotions towards Allah and the things that are valuable to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ascribes value to, then doing the things becomes much easier. Why? Because now the heart is into it. Why? Because the heart is into it. You're doing it with your heart. You're doing it not because you have to, but because you want to. You want the closeness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You want the special love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You want the virtues and the blessings associated with it. You want the rewards. You want Jannah. You want Maghfirah. You want these things. And when your heart is in that condition, then it propels you. It pushes you to do it. Right? Because you want to do it. Right? You want to be protected from the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You don't want to end up in the wrong category. Right? You want to make sure that you have taken every opportunity to maximize your good deeds. Because you know that this is real. And this is going to have a real impact on you once you're gone from this dunya. And so if we build these conditions in our heart, then everything else that we're supposed to do and that we have to do, it becomes easier for us. But if we don't have these conditions in our heart, if we don't have these conditions in our heart, we don't have this understanding, then it becomes so tedious and so difficult. And it's not to say you could still be struggling, even with the right condition in the heart. You could still, potentially. But then it's meaningful. There's purpose behind it. You know why you're doing it. You know what it holds, the value that it holds. Right, so this is how we want to prepare ourselves spiritually for the coming of the month of Ramadan. So a few tips, inshallah, as we wrap up to prepare for the special guest, which is Ramadan, is number one, to get mentally prepared. It could be as simple as looking at the timings for fasting, looking at the timings for prayer, planning your schedule, planning your vacation from work, right? Looking at your schedule for classes, if you're a student, right? And just taking it in and just figuring out, okay, how is my day going to look like in Ramadan? You know, how can I tweak things so that I can maximize the time and the benefit? Secondly, my brothers and sisters, it's taking content related to Ramadan. Right, this is my personal favorite. It's to read the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ that relate to Ramadan. Because if you want to get the true spirit, the true essence of an act or of a time and how it's supposed to be celebrated and how it's supposed to be done, you look at the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. Right, there's the best example. Right, so taking in those ahadith, right, the verses of the Quran that talk about fasting, about Ramadan, right, the tafsir, the commentary, the lectures surrounding these topics, readings, right, to get inspired, to get in the zone. Right, number three, getting spiritually prepared. And that means to start phasing out junk consumption. Start phasing out junk consumption. What is junk consumption? It's those talk shows that you like watching to and listening to. It's those TV shows, those serials, those dramas. It's that Netflix series that you're addicted to, right? Is that podcast that you always look forward to and can't live without, right? All this content, the addiction to the phones, to scrolling, right? Whether it's Instagram or whether you're on Snapchat or Facebook or even WhatsApp, right? Whatever it is, phasing all of that junk consumption out and replacing it with recitation of Quran, with listening to Quran, with reflection upon Quran. Content that boosts our iman. Iman boosting content. Fourthly, fasting if you can, if you're able to. If you're not able to, that's fine. But if you're able to, and it's not obligatory, but today is the 13th, the white days, the three white days of the lunar month, 13th, 14th, 15th. 13th is already done, you can't fast now. But 14th is tomorrow, 15th is on Sunday, right? So trying to get used to fasting, especially in the month of Sha'ban. Building a habit for waking early. Offering qiyam, if you're not in the habit, the tahajjud prayer, if you're not in the habit of doing so already, waking up a little bit earlier, before the fajr adhan, because you're going to have to wake up for suhoor anyway, inshallah. Purifying yourself from haram wealth, and haram consumption and haram clothing, which are all barriers potentially to the acceptance of dua. Imagine the misfortune of a person who makes dua in the month of Ramadan, but their food is haram, their clothing is haram, their earning is haram, as the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ tells us, of that traveler. How could the dua be accepted, right? And that becomes a barrier for us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala purify us. Right? Fix your relationships, right? Clean your heart towards others, because this also can be a barrier to the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We ask Allah azza wa jal to bless us in this month of Sha'ban, to allow us to prepare in every way possible for the coming of the blessed month. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us the opportunity to live Ramadan again. Nobody plans not to have another Ramadan. Huh? Nobody plans to not have another Ramadan. So every Ramadan that comes, take it as overtime. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you an extra opportunity, another period of overtime. Right? Take full advantage of it, because you don't know when it's going to go away, and you don't know if another one's going to come. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us always. Ameen wa akhidam alhamdulillah rabbil alameen. We'll take a quick break and we'll continue, inshaAllah.